to see everybody here this morning. A beautiful day it is to come and gather around His Word. A beautiful thing it is to be able to read His Word. And the most of it all for Him to come on the scene and quicken it to our hearts so we don't stumble over it. I know I have, and I'm sorry about that, Lord. We're all bound here together to help one another. And the Word was sent to give us the guide. As we go to the Word this morning, we're going to be reading in Philippians 2, 1 through 10. Let's bow our heads and thank the author. Dear precious Father, we thank You for this day You've given us to come and gather around Your Word. Lord, just touch and bless each one's heart here today, Father. Forgive us of our sins. And Lord, just come down and speak to us, Lord, and just send Your Word by revelation to us. We need it to be revealed more than anything, Lord. Amen. And Father God, we ask that You just bless us for that, because You said You would, Father, and we believe Your Word. Bless those that couldn't make it through the door today, whatever their hindrances are, wherever they're at. Father God, You know where they're at. Just touch them and bless them and lift them up and just place that burden on their heart to come and gather. And Lord, as we open and read Your Word this morning, You just come on the scene now and bless the word that comes from here, and bless Brother Dale as he's preparing to come out this morning and feed his flock, and bless the service this morning to be with him, and bless the service this afternoon with a good attendance, and everybody keep that sleepy spirit out of here, Lord. Just let them cast it off before they bring it through the door, because it's important that we hear what You've sent for us to hear. And Lord, we thank You now for this, and we ask You, Father God, to forgive us. Let Your grace and mercy be upon us, the little bride of Jesus Christ around the world. We ask these things in Your name. Amen. As we go to Philippians 2, start reading at verse 1. Sometimes it's hard to pick the right scriptures. It really is, because they all just... As I read and ponder through them, since Brother Collie's not been here, it's one person. You see, it's just one God in this word, in all of it. Amen. So let's read this morning, beginning at verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves.
Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others.
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men.
And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.
Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name.
Amen.
That is the name of Jesus. Every knee should bow. Of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Thank you for the reading of the word. You may be seated.
Amen. I really like that second verse. Fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being in one accord and one mind. Hallelujah. Let's turn to page 27. In the Spiral Songbook, we'll sing this before our brother comes out. Sorry, I think I have the wrong page on there. It's when the redeemed are gathering in. That was page 7. Page 7. What a good number. When the redeemed are gathering in one mind, one love, and one accord. Amen. I was listening to a sermon the other day and heard someone was asking Brother Branham, I believe his future home, and they were saying, look, you know, should we move here? Should we move there? Follow you here? And he said, no, get in Christ.
Yeah,
It's in the Word that we're one mind, one accord. Get in Christ. That's where we're all together. And that's where the redeemed are gathered this morning. Amen. Oh, I am thinking of a rapture in our blessed home, oh, high when the redeemed are gathering in. I will raise a heavenly anthem in that city in the sky when the redeemed. Singing, oh, what shout in the city of B Road. I think it would sound just like we just sung it. Amen. I believe that. The way we're shouting Amen. Right now and rejoicing Amen. In the Lord. Yeah. It'll just be more of us over Amen. There. Amen. Amen. Let's change the word of the service as our brother comes this morning. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Yes, open the eyes of my heart. For I want to see you. Oh Jesus, I want to see you. Oh, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
I'll let you run.
Oh Lord, I
see him, don't you? Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to Galatians 4. We'll read the first 7 verses, and then we'll jump over to verse 19 and pick up the thought. Just remember, pray one for another that the Lord would bless. Remember, Brother Bob, he's up Blue Ridge, or how you call that up there. He's up there preaching today, so remember that. Brother Luis is in Beaufort, is that right? Beaufort, preaching. So remember them and pray that the Lord would bless and take care of them and do everything. Remember also, we'll get in touch with Brother Bob, but he is to minister this coming Wednesday for us. So we try to keep everything going in order and line up, getting the ending of this year as we do now, not the January and February, but the ending of this time of the bringing it into the 50 of the church coming forth on this day, 50 or July the 4th, 1971, bringing it all into order there. And that's what I call it, the ending of this, and we're going to begin anew.
Amen.
Because I believe in that.
Amen.
I believe in
Amen.
Moving forward
right.
In keeping on going,
Amen.
Don't you?
Amen.
Terrence has announced these. Remember Sister Johnny, she's facing an operation, and they're moving her from one hospital to the other one, or backwards or forth. They really don't know yet to get everything straight to be able to do, but just pray that the Lord would bless. She really needs our prayers because, you know, the operation is not a small one, so... Just pray that the Lord would bless her and
Amen.
Take care of her, and you just keep her in your prayers, okay?
Amen.
Galatians 4. And Father, we thank you that there's a day of grace and time, as our brother was ministering unto us, about your grace,
Amen.
Your unmerited favor to each one of us. And to be able to, Lord, to take your word, just open the pages and to read it. And to see your grace and what it is to each and every one of us. And how that you've manifested yourself in many ways down through time to bring it to that position that we can all depend upon you and to walk in the light of your grace. Bless those that are not here today. Remember Brother Al and Sister Anna there, and Brother Hal, Sister Audrey, for all the others, Brother Collie, Brother Darty. Lord, we miss all of these, Sister Johnny, Sister Jean. We miss these, Lord, and we pray that you would just restore unto us these that are sick. We know that we're all getting older, but that has nothing to do with it because we rest in you, not in time. We love you and we thank you. Have your way now. Forgive our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness and keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. Galatians 4. Now I'm going to have to pick this up in 2 or 3 parts maybe, but we'll see how it works out. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. All right, now Paul is explaining the fact of law and grace and bringing it down to the position to understand and see what we are. See, but we're heirs as long as we're their children. We differ nothing from a servant. We've been through these messages before. But we're under tutors and governors until a time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, watch now, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Okay. And because ye are sons, in other words, the reason you are sons, reason that you are in an adopted stage is because of what God has done for us and putting us in place. Now, so listen, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Amen. So now let's drop over. Let's pick our thought up to the 19th verse. Chapter 4:19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. In other words, they had come, if you get the whole background of the story, the Galatians were having trouble under the basis of the law. In other words, they were wanting to lean back to keeping the Sabbath days, keeping this day or keep that day or keep this thing or wear this clothing or eat this food or take this certain day off and all of this, that, and the other. They were having trouble doing that, and Paul is trying to explain to them. And that's why it started over here with the adoption, see, bring you into the family by the new birth, then pick that up and go on with it and to see that we no longer have these things. Because we're different. Now, remember the story, if you don't forget this whole point. Now listen, we're going to cover the bondwoman and the free woman, but now we're going to have to cover it under the natural before we can cover it under the spiritual. See, because under the natural Jew, you had two things. Now, we got to bring that over into the New Testament. That's what I said. We may have problems getting it to where we can understand, but listen. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Amen. Which things are an allegory or type or a shadow? Right? For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar, in other words, Hagar, right, coming on over into the point. And this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia in answer to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free. Now, not Jew, that's a natural. Okay, all right, you see where we got to pick it up? Which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Right. Now we brethren, as Isaac was, not now once, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, amen, even so it is now. Right. All right. See, people are still arguing and fussing. Well, we're supposed to do this. We're supposed to do that. We're supposed to keep these days. We're supposed to do, you know, they're still arguing over it. But what's, nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondman and her son. For the son of the bondman, bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Now, who said, who was the first one that said, cast out the bond child? That's what we'll deal with today. So you may be seated. The Lord had his blessing for the reading of the word. All right. Now get my point. Listen very carefully to the point. There was two nations that developed out of Abraham. You technically can say one developed out of Abram. All right. Because that would have been Ishmael, and the other developed out of Abraham after the name change, after the promise and things like that. And that's well and good to keep your thoughts in mind, because see, then you can declare that one is by natural lineage. In the natural lineage to Abraham through Hagar, there was no promise of a child. There was promise of a nation, promise of the things we'll read in a minute. This nation and all like that, they were promised that too. You know, Ishmael gets his nations. They're over there right now, and all. But see, there is an Israel there now that is still not lined up in the promise. So you're going to have to pick up the point of seeing what Paul is talking about. There is two natural nations, right? Ishmael on one side, Isaac on the other side. All right. And both of them have the promise under the point, as I said, about Ishmael gets promise of land. He gets promise of great things to take place. Great nations come out of Ishmael. But see, the promise come through Isaac. All right. And see, we have to pick that up to understand now. Now get the point now. The flesh man or Isaac, you know, he was flesh. Let me put it this way. Both seeds now come from Abraham. Whether it be the Jew or whether it be the God, I don't know what you call them over there now, the Palestinians, the this, that, or the order, the people of there, the lineages coming down from that side. But remember, both of them comes from Abraham. You can go through, as I said, for Abram was this one over here through Ishmael and Abraham's it. That's good. But remember one thing, you and I are not Jews. So what is Paul talking to the Galatians about? Why is he talking to them as a natural people? He's explaining the natural laws, the things of who they are. He's telling the Galatians, you know, you're this, you're that, you're the seed of promise. Whether it would be that you would wind up being from Ishmael or from Isaac, you got promises for both. But one of them will linger back or lean back to the flesh. The other will lean to the promise. All right. In doing that, then see, there's your developing of two nations that you have over there right now fighting each other. See, all of those little nations around there in one way or the other are in relation. Now notice Wes said it on one way or the other. They're all in relation one to the other, connecting to Abram or Abraham. They connect back to Abram in the basis that they come from the flesh of Abram. Now, the two seeds that we cover. So you get into that. We'll cover that later going through it and all. But remember, both children come by a natural sex act.
Amen. Right?
Yep. Right? Whether it be Ishmael or whether it be Isaac.
Amen.
All right. See, we look at Isaac as being a promise, and that's true. But still, where did he come from?
Absolutely. Amen.
Yep. Where did he come from? He come from Abraham.
Amen.
Right. Because that's where that you keep your thoughts in line. But then when you get to the book of Galatians, Paul is not necessarily dealing with Ishmael and Isaac. He's dealing with the children of promise.
Yeah.
All right? Because remember, now watch what I'm getting at. Follow the point and then hold this point. Both children came from the same man.
Yep. Right.
Right? Ishmael came from Abraham. Isaac came from Abraham.
Amen.
All right. But now we've got to get down to eventually to where we can cover the one seed, which is Christ.
Amen.
Because Abraham and Abram and Abraham would be two seeds. So then that's why Paul is trying to explain to the Galatians that they were trying to lean back to the law to do that. They wanted to follow the law. They wanted to keep the law. They wanted to do those things. And Paul is saying, why are you doing that? But don't you understand that you're trying to lean this way, you're trying to lean that way. You're trying to lean back to whether or not you come from Ishmael or Isaac.
Right.
So why are you worried about which one you come from? Oh, but we are the children of Ishmael. All right. According to the Korans and the writings and the thing, you know who the promised son is? Isaac. No. Ishmael. Your Arabs and things are claiming Ishmael to be the promised son.
Yep, right.
And Isaac to be the bad guy, you know, that come up.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
See, you understand, it's a great situation to look at it, but yet to try to understand it in the order of understanding and not just drop off this. See, you'll drop, well, we're the seed of promise. We're only the seed of promise through Jesus Christ. And Paul is not talking to or dealing necessarily with the Isaac and Ishmael situation to the Galatians. He's dealing with the Galatians as being Gentiles, the bride of Christ. Now, as I said, then you got one man fathering both nations. Right? Come on. As I said, you can pick up all you want to and play with it. We do it. We believe it. Ishmael come from one. Isaac come from the other. But it's only in the basis of whether it would be Abram or Abraham. It's still the same guy. The same guy is the daddy of both of them. But now here's the catch to it that we will get to in another message or so down the road. Not so with a woman. Not so with a woman. In the woman, you got two different women.
Yep, that's right. Amen.
They get babies, but you got two different women.
Amen. That's right.
One of them is through Hagar. Yep. The other one is through Sarah.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
All right?
Hallelujah.
So now you got two women to deal with.
Amen.
All right? And that's why he's covering it, see, that we have this situation that the bondwoman is to be cast out. All right? Now, that bondwoman being cast out is not the bride of Christ or even the natural point of trying to understand. It's just laying it in order to get it right. You got one man, two wives. I don't care what you think about the promises that's through this and the promises that's through that. You can get into all of that. But Paul ain't even covered because remember, Paul's talking to the Galatians. The Galatians were the point of Gentile situation because of where they're coming in at are the bride of Jesus Christ. Paul is talking about the bride. He ain't talking about, he's only using that as a type. He's only using Abraham as Abram or Abraham or whatever as a type or a shadow or something to look at to where you can get a going. He's talking about whether or not you, right here in Lula, Georgia today, can decide which side are you on. Because remember, we just read in verse 26. That Jerusalem, which is above, is a mother of us all.
Amen.
All right. But see, you get into the mind of looking and wondering, what is Paul doing? He's talking to the Galatians. He's talking about the bondwoman and the free woman. All right. But yet, what does the bondwoman and the free woman have to do with Christianity? You know. What does it have to do with you as Christians? Because we are not the bondwoman or the free woman. We're the bride of Jesus Christ. Because Paul is covering the natural as the bondwoman as being Hagar and the natural as Sarah as being the free woman. Right? But neither one of them applies to you and I. We're not Jews. We're born again Christians. We are the bride of Christ, not the bride of Abraham. All right, getting you to look at the Bible in a different situation and to try to understand it. Why would he be talking to the Galatians and telling the Galatians, you desire to be under the law? When the Galatians are not the Jew are naturally, you know, they are. They was in there. They was Jews in all of that back there in the early part. But Paul's talking to the bride of Christ.
Amen. Right.
I've been pondering this for months as to thought, because it will eventually wind up to see that the seed shall not be ire with a shuck.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Brother Brown said this is an unusual thought.
Right.
The seed shall not be air with the shuck. Well, see, there has to be a division then come along somewhere that you'll see that it has to divide between. And when you do, you're going to see one going one way and one going another. And in doing that, you're going to see that when the prophet made that statement, it was perfectly right, because first off, thinking in your human mind, it should not be the point of saying the seed shall not be air with a shuck. It should be that the shuck shall not be air with the seed. That should be the correct statement, that the shuck shall not be air with the seed. All right, you can go that line. I can carry you through that line, and it'll come out, and we will. But he's saying the seed shall not be air with a shuck. Right? That's the titles to the message. All right, then in doing that, that seed shall not be air with a shuck. Because the shuck's going one way for certain, but the genuine bride's going another way. Then it will fall in line, and I'll drop back on this later on. Then it will fall in line to see. That the shuck's going to the tribulation. I don't care what they are. They're going to the tribulation. But the seed's not going to the tribulation. Seed's going in the rapture. The royal seed of Abraham. Who is the royal seed of Abraham? The bride of Jesus Christ. So now you understand what I'm saying. The book of Galatians is not writing about the Jews and their lineages and their doings and what they're doing there and all. Because he's not writing to them about that. He's writing to born-again believers who are in Jesus Christ, that he said that to an adoption, children, heirs, right? What was he covering? The heirs, the people. The bride of Jesus Christ is what he's talking about.
Amen.
See, I want to know why the bride's not going with us, why the free woman's not going with the bond woman.
That's right.
Because both of them are wives of Abraham.
Right. Yep.
Right? Both of them bear children to Abraham. See, then Abraham had a separation in that point, that naturally he brought forth Ishmael through Hagar.
Yep. Right.
Yep. No promise. Purely sex act. Sorry to say it that way, but it's plain language, so let's be plain.
Amen.
We're old enough to understand. Nothing in promise. The only promise it was that God looks down and all right, let's go on. Let's get to the point. But who, I ask you, who was the first one that talked about the bondwoman? And what was to happen? Right. So let's get in the Bible and study a little bit. Go back go ahead and pick up number one, brothers. All right, which would be Genesis 21. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, Malki. Now she saw, Sarah saw Hagar, the Egyptian, which had bore Abraham a son, Ishmael. And what? Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Ishmael. Or Isaac. Now listen. Why would Sarah be so adamant? In other words, she first said, she saw, she was looking, in other words, they claim really that basically Isaac was a little long about weaning from his mother, maybe 3 or 4 years old, you know, as a background story to a lot of different things and all like that. And Ishmael, he kind of made fun of him because, see, Ishmael was born to Hagar before Isaac was born to Sarah, okay? Are you following me? So in doing that, Sarah looks at it, and remember, Sarah is the one that set this whole story up. She set up the situation for Hagar to bear Abraham, or Abram, if you want to hold him, keep him, a son. And she said, then I'll take that son, which was the right of all of the doing, I'll take that son and I'll bear it unto myself. And said, Abraham, now that'll fulfill the promise to you. But Abraham, he said, no. This ain't exactly working. Because what I got now is a problem. Now listen. I've got within me the ability, the seed, etc., to bring forth. But said, I don't have a wife to bring forth. So Sarah said, okay, take Hagar. She'll be a wife. And she'll bear you a child. But said, remember now, I'll take that child to me. Because said, I can't have any. And the law of right was for that child to come to her, and she would raise it as her own child. All right. So Sarah is getting in line pretty good. We throw off on Sarah. We throw off that she done this, she set up that. She set this situation up. You know what God turned around and said? Listen to her. No, wait a minute. Now she's in trickery. She's in all kind of things. She's doing all kind of situations. And God says, okay, now Abraham said, just listen to her. She gets all upset when Isaac come forth as a child to be weaned, and Ishmael starts making fun. Well, you know, probably if the truth was known, Hagar was making fun at the same time too, you know, because of the son. I mean, just put it all together, but it doesn't matter. Just keep it straight. That she started making, you know, he started making fun. And you know what would have happened had Sarah not come up with this idea? You would still have two lineages.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you'd have a problem in Israel.
Yep. Right.
But just remember one thing that I tried to explain to start with. We're not dealing with that fact of Isaac and Israel, I mean Ishmael, on the basis of whether or not they're Jews or what we're doing.
Right.
We're seeing what is Paul relating to you and I.
Amen.
Right.
Yeah. Why is it in the message people then, especially years ago, they're beginning to get away from a lot of, but a lot of it was legalistic preachers, right? All you could do was beat the women over the head for this, that, or the other, and all of these things, and all of that was in the situation. But listen, cast out this bondwoman and her son.
Yep.
Said, now listen, Abraham. We got a child now. Come on.
Yep.
By then they had a child.
Yep.
Said, we got a child. We got a promise. You told me that God promised you a son. You told me that he promised a son through you.
Yep.
Here we have the son. We no longer need Hagar. We definitely don't need Ishmael. Cast them out. Now what does God say? Okay. Wherefore, she said unto Abraham, cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. He loved Ishmael. That was his first son. But God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad. In other words, about Ishmael. And because of thy bondwoman, in all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. For as in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now watch him. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation because he is thy seed. Okay? Now show me where that Abraham ever denied the seed. He doesn't till this day. They may deny him. But as I said, the Korans and the things, all of those doctrines over there, they have Ishmael as the promised son. The Jews have Isaac as the promised son. That's what the argument is. That's what the killing is over. That's what the wars are over. Because they're two different nations, but from the same man, but not from the same woman. See, one of them's a bondwoman, the other's a free woman. All right, the bondwoman is Hagar. But the free woman is Sarah. She was the one the promise was to come through, and through Abraham was to come through Abraham. Now, whether it be Abram and then Abraham, I keep doing that because people, they'll do it to you. You know, they say, well, he don't know what he's talking about. He don't keep it straight. Well, I keep repeating it where it'll be straight. You got one Abram. Abraham, whatever name you want to call it. You got one guy with two seeds. You say, wait a minute, no, we ain't got into Christianity yet. Come on. When you get into Christianity, you got to come to one seed. And to Galatians 3:16, which is unto thy seed, which is Christ. It ain't neither Jew nor Gentile. They don't have nothing to do with it. That's what Paul is explaining. He's explaining. Then what are you arguing about these things? What are you trying to figure out which lineage you're from? You're trying to figure out whether you're Ishmael or Isaac's. And say they don't have nothing to do with it. Said, because neither one of them is the promised son. Right. Isaac was not the promised son. The Lord Jesus Christ is the promised son.
Amen. Amen.
Isaac was the natural promise. Because it has to be a natural. Why? Because there's a natural on each side. You got one man with two seeds.
Right.
That's why it's not, you don't look at Christianity maybe sometimes the way I do. I know it, I'm crazy in my thinking, but I look at something and I think, well, hey, there's two seeds. But we spend so much time talking about one seed. Well, okay, let's get to one seed right. So the only way you can get to one seed right is not Isaac nor Ishmael, but it's Jesus Christ.
Right.
Galatians 3:16, unto thy seed, which is Christ,
amen.
Singular.
Amen.
See, Paul is explaining to born-again Christians that they're trying to be under the law. They're trying to be under their, their doings and their thing. They want to lean back to that. They want to go to the circumcision. Paul had trouble with them all the time, you know, with Timothy and the different things of circumcision.
Amen.
See? But see, we look at it and say, well, what is he talking about? Paul is not talking about the Jews in the... He has to because he's backgrounding it. He's typing it.
Right.
But he's not talking about that the Galatians are Ishmaelites or Canaanites or Hudaites or they are what they are. Paul is explaining the new birth.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Come on.
Yep, right.
Are we back over here? And as I said, isn't it a very odd thing from there in Genesis that Sarah wanted to cast out the bondwoman?
Yep.
When she was the one that helped set up the situation that the bondwoman came into existence. Maybe one of these days we're going to find out the bride of Jesus Christ is very important to God. And he does listen to her. Maybe we're going to learn one of these days what our position is and where we're to live. That we are the bride of Jesus Christ. We're not Jew, Gentile, Samaritans, whatever we are. We're not any of those things. We are the born-again believer.
Amen. Right.
The only free woman that there is a born-again believer in the bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And see, Ishmael is in the Isaacs in the situations, and that Sarah and Hagar is only types and shadows to come to see who we are.
Amen. Right.
Paul is talking to us today.
Amen.
Not to the Jews back there. Tell me you that desire to be under the law. Tell me you that desire to, I won't do that. I can't do this. I can't do that. Legalisms.
Amen. That's right.
You think your legalism is what perfects you? No. The blood of Jesus Christ is what makes us all what we are.
Amen.
How is there any hope for a Gentile to wind up being the bride of Christ? Don't you ever think like that? Don't you ever think about what God done to get me and you? It looks like he done everything wrong.
Yep.
He listened to Hagar. You say, well, no, God didn't listen. Well, he told Abraham to listen to her.
Yep. Right.
But see, we don't follow the story. We don't line it up. Then we want to take Hagar and the things and just chuck her out the window.
Yep.
But remember when Sarah and Hagar had their dispute and Hagar went her way, Abraham had to send her out. God found Hagar under the tree with Ishmael. And God told her that he will bring forth a great nation. Nations will come out of this man. To go on back. To be under subjection to Sarah. Read your Bible. That's all I'm doing. Be under subjection to Sarah. Because see, Sarah had the idea. Now we throw off on her so much about that she persuaded Abraham. I don't think it was a lot of persuading going on. I think Abraham saw a time to get a wife. He had one wife and couldn't get no children. So he's trying to figure out how to get a child that God had promised him. Right? Now he promised him he's going to have a child. He didn't tell him right off it's going to be by Sarah.
That's right. That's right.
He left him a long time before he ever come to him and finally said, Sarah will have this child.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is after Sarah's done had the child.
Right.
Now Sarah's saying to to God, you get Abraham to cast this woman out because she can't be there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He says, he's not talking to, well, who is she talking to?
Right.
She was talking to Abraham.
Right.
But Abraham wasn't to her God. And he was telling her, and she said, no, that ain't the way to work it out.
Right.
Said, this is the way to work it out.
Yep.
Cast out
right.
that bondwoman.
Right.
First off, get rid of the bondwoman.
Yep.
Now, what's your first off in Christianity?
Right.
Justification.
Amen.
See, if you don't have time to do nothing else, get the messages on the seed shall not be heir with the shook. There's two or three of them.
Right.
And listen to them. If we get time, we'll go through those things of talking about. Because in the story of Brother Branham using those things, he's using Sarah as the husk, which was the Methodist and the different things is being described by the prophet as those things are going on. But this has got to be described here.
Right.
This is the point that I'm wanting to get at first. Hagar had the idea to get a child by, I mean, Sarah had an idea to get the child by Hagar. And they got it. But yet Abraham began to realize about that time, hey, wait a minute, this is not by promise. I got this by flesh. Well, if you don't see it, then you maybe need to. But you get into legalism, you're automatically going to the flesh. Do this, don't do that. Eat this, don't eat that. Wear this, don't wear this. Do this, see that, what do? What is it? Legalism. Paul is explaining to the born-again Christians that it didn't work with Isaac and Ishmael. Neither one of them brought the promise. Ishmael was the natural promise, yes, but he was not the seed. Because Isaac was from the seed of Abraham, Ishmael was from the seed of Abraham. Two seeds. You've got to break that down to get rid of one of those, or something's got to take place, because you can only have one seed in Christianity. You don't have two seeds in Christianity. There's no point of it. That's why you don't believe in the two souls, or two lords, or two this, or the two that. You always got to have two in the message. What would Paul be saying, you Galatians? Tell me ye that try to have these seed and that seed and that seed, or how many seeds? Because in Galatians you only got one seed, Galatians 3:16, to thy seed which is Christ. You say, what are you driving at? I'm talking about me and you here. I'm not talking about the Jews back there. That's the only the type or the example of it. We are the bride of Jesus Christ. One seed. Amen. Right. But yet why do we wind up with so many of them? I hope you don't go wrong on me to listen. But you got your two lords, your two souls, your two this, and you always got two. And Paul is constantly trying to get rid of them two things. And he's saying it didn't work in the natural. Because what I wound up with, in other words, God's saying it, what I wound up with is two different kingdoms. Two nations. And they're sitting over there right now fighting each other over the land. Both of them claiming the promise as being theirs. Right? But it's unto thy seed which is Christ. You understand what I'm saying? Why is Paul using it? What's he doing with the Galatians? He's not preaching to the Jews. Now, naturally, there were Jews there. There were people in all of those, because the Jews were the biggest portion of the Christian rim, as we call it, up into the first church age. Right? So don't misunderstand me as to what I'd say when I say they were not Jews. The Jewish kingdom was to end it back there when Jesus Christ came and gave his life and brought it forth. And it brought forth a spiritual kingdom.
Amen.
All right? And unto thy seed, which is Christ.
Yes.
Paul?
Mm-hmm.
200 or 300 years. I mean, I don't know exactly how long, maybe 30, 40 years here from the time. And Paul is explaining the new birth.
Yep.
Right? Come on, are we in the scriptures? And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad, because of the bondwoman. Why? Because, see, here's the free woman is wanting to throw everything out. And he said, don't be grieved about it because of thy bondwoman. And all that Sarah has said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called. All right, now watch him. Tell me ye that, excuse me, and also of the son of the bondwoman, I will make a nation because he is thy seed. See, the way that most people are trying to bring it, they try to bring Israel, you know, a children of Israel through Isaac and throw away. Throw away the Ishmael. That's always been the point. Get rid of the Ishmaelites. Why? They have a promise. There will be a lot of those people be given eternal life at the white throne judgment. Right? A lot of the Jews, a lot of the people. Because over there in Israel right now, what are you going to call it? Come on. They are both the seed of Abraham. If you go over there and stand out there, you'll hear them in the day, the horn, they'll get out and they'll blow it at certain times of the day. Well, that's a call of prayer. The Ishmaelites are the ones that's calling the prayer. Right, Sister Barbara? It's not the Jews that are calling the prayer, is it? Mm-mm. It's the Ishmaelites. The ones from Hagar. Because they believe that they're the promise. They believe Ishmael was the one that Isaac was to offer. I mean, that Abraham was to offer up back there. See, they changed the whole story around. Well, what have we done with it? Tell me, you that desire to be under the law, why do you want to go back to those dates and times and seasons and doing? Paul said, I'm scared of you. Brother Brown said, I'm scared of your experience. Now, I got this in my notes right here if you want it. He said, I'm scared of your experience, lest I've bestowed labor in vain, in other words. Right. Trying to get the Galatians to see that it's not Ishmael and Isaac. That's only a types and shadows. It's Christ.
Amen.
It's the new birth. We don't need to try to find out our lineage. Even if you found out which side you're on, what good would it do? Right? What good would it do for you to find out you were a Jew? Because Paul says later on in the scripture, it's not a Jew that's a Jew outwardly, but it's a Jew that's inwardly. The new birth makes you a Jew inwardly. Puts you into the correct position of the free woman's child. Because now let's take that for a minute. See? The bondwoman. Hagar and her doing, the bondwoman. Well, what about the free woman? See? You and I are the free woman.
Right.
Sarah is not the free woman. No more than then Isaac was the seed of promise. It's all in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
See, the bride of Jesus Christ is the free woman.
Amen.
She's not a bondman. She's a free woman.
Amen.
By promise.
Amen. Yes.
Sarah was by promise that through Sarah would come the child. Get into the Christianity with it. Get into the real thing instead of just thinking about two nations. Well, see, then when you start thinking of two nations, you've got to automatically do away with one of them because you're knowing that much of it is right in you, but it won't work. You can't do away with anything. The Ishmaelites are over there. They got their promise. There'll be some of them given eternal life at the white throne judgment. But you know what? Israel as a nation is a nation with God. But Israel is not the promised nation. The promised nation is the bride of Jesus Christ, the free woman.
Amen. That's right.
That comes by promise.
Amen.
See, we're not Jews. We're the bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Right.
And that's what Paul is trying his best to explain to them. Did you listen to the reading of the scriptures? Yeah. Let's see. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For we are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Come on, I'm in 3 and 26. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. Listen. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male or female, for we are all one in Christ. All of that back there was just types and shadows to come to you and I. And if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seeds. Singular. And heirs according to the promise. Then what does he start to describe? Listen to it. And I say that to heir, as long as he's explaining adoption, right? Stature of perfect man, adoption coming in. That we'd be Lord of all. And you're under tutors, schoolmasters, same word, governors, same word, unto the time appointed of the Father, even as we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. We were all sinners, lost. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Adoption was originally placed to be to the Jews, because they were the children of God. But they turned down that right. They lost their right of sonship when they turned down Jesus Christ and crucified Him. So they're no longer in promise of the line of adoptions and things. But it turned to the Gentiles. What? And because you're sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. See, adoption, Romans 8. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. If a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Right? Explaining adoption. The stature of a perfect man. The growth development. Not of a natural Jew. That was not who he was talking to. He was talking to the Galatians. Which was to be the bride of Jesus Christ. See, the bride of Jesus Christ is the free woman. That's why it doesn't say... See, it says the seed shall not be heir with the shuck. It doesn't say the shuck won't be heir with the seed. Because there is a redemptive part to Israel that they will come forth and be given eternal life and different things. But yet they will never come into the position of free woman. They'll always be Israel. Now listen, follow what I'm saying and listen. Israel will always be the bondwoman. Because she can't be the free woman. Jesus Christ set that up with the birth of when he come into this world and made a way for to die for our sins and made us his children, his offspring. His heirs, who is it talking about? Why is he talking to the Galatians about heirship or what are to do, how children are to be, how you're supposed to raise them and things? He's not talking to the Israel. He's talking to the true Israelite, which is the true Israelite is the bride of Jesus Christ, the free woman. So the bondwoman will never be heir with the free woman. But isn't it odd? Who put her out? Who come up with the idea? Get rid of the bondwoman. Which was Sarah. And Sarah, if you'll listen to the prophet's message, then you'll see Sarah represents the Methodists and things coming down because you got this and representing this, this representing that. Listen. But you got a very odd statement when you get over there in it. To where that Brother Branham says, even Mary was not the seed. You remember that? Mara was not the seed. Why? The seed was in Mary. Sarah was not the seed. The seed was in Sarah. Where did Isaac come from? Come from Sarah, right? Ishmael comes from Hagar. Well, still, Hagar is the type of the Lutheran coming forth. And see, when you get to going then you'll see why the prophet said, the seed shall not be heir with a shuck.
Right. Amen.
But the main thing is what he gets to the last of it, what he's covering it. The shuck is going to the tribulation. Now, not Sarah and not Lutherans and Wesley and Methodists. They are the bride of Jesus Christ. They're not going through the tribulation. Why? Because justification, sanctification, baptism, and the Holy Ghost already finished by now. They won't go. The new birth is for the royal seed of Abraham, which is the bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Count yourself the honor that you're sitting in.
Amen.
That's all I'm trying to say. The Bible is not talking here in Galatians of Jews and Gentiles. That's what he said. He said, neither Jew nor Greek,
right,
neither bond nor free.
Right.
But it's in Jesus Christ that all things rest.
Amen.
Amen.
We are the royal seed of Abraham by the new birth.
Amen.
And that's why it comes down to be one seed then. Because
we're
the children of Abraham, one seed.
Right.
Now remember the story, what I'm getting at. Are you listening? When you got the story started, you got an Abraham and an Isaac. You got an Ishmael and a Hagar. You got all kind of stories coming down. But you got it to one thing. That's two seeds. But as long as you got two seeds, you got trouble. I don't mean to be wrong. I just mean to be straight. When you got two lords, you got a problem.
Yeah, right.
That's the only thing that I tried to explain to those people back there 20, 40 years ago about the two lords. You got two lords, you got two gods.
Right.
Because you got to have a god for each lord.
Yeah. Right.
That's sensible.
Right.
So there is not a god for Isaac and a god for Ishmael. But there is a god for the bride of Jesus Christ. One seed, singular, which is Christ. And you just think about what you are. You're not a Jew. It's not a Jew that's where, it's a Jew that's inwardly. You're the new birth. You have the part of being Christ in the new birth, right? You're born again. Now you're Jews inwardly, not outwardly. I don't want to be a physical Jew. I want to be what I am. But to realize what I am. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. The Bible is not written just for, we say, the Jews. It's written to the bride of Christ. It tells about Israel and all of her doings. But it's telling it in types and shadows of typing what we are now. We're His offspring. Come on, is that the book of Acts where Paul said it? Those on Mars Hill and said, we are His offspring. We're the children of God. We're the born-again believers of God. Why do we need a book of rules to live by? Well, brother, don't you think it's good to be good? No, I think it's good to be born again. If you get born again, you'll be good. Right? That solve the problem? If you get born again, it takes care of whether you're good or not. Because it's not how good I am, it's how good He is. I like that one where it said, it is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. All of that on predestination, all of that on the choosing, all of that things is standing now for you to understand this day to try to get it to the right place. Who is the bond woman and who is the free woman? I don't want to be the bondwoman's child. I don't care if they give me all of Israel. I don't care if they give me all of that land. I don't want to be that. I want to be of the free woman, which is Jesus Christ coming and bringing us by promise. See, the natural bondwoman brought a man by sex. The spiritual brings it by new creation. Makes us the children of God. His offspring. Are you listening? Just trying to get a thought to you, and then we'll pick it back up maybe in another message or so. Because I want you to see it. Who is Paul talking to? That the heir, as long as he's a child, he differs with nothing. He's a child. You know. I mean, you go over there and you pick up one of them little bitty Arab and you shake him up and down. You know, you got a little kid. You reach over and you get a Jew and you shake him up and down. You got two little kids. I love both of them. It doesn't matter. But see, in the finality, it comes down to prove which one is to be what by the fact of what that child will do. I don't want to be just a people of a tribe of Israel. Which tribe are we? We got this, we got that. You got arguments over the tribes and the things, you know, the 144,000 and this, that. No. I want to be part of the bride of Christ.
Amen.
I want to be of the free woman.
Amen.
What about a man like Abraham having to take his son Ishmael and throw him out? He loved him. He wanted to keep him. But he threw him out. Why? Because the free woman said it. That don't mean nothing to you, but it certainly means a lot to me. Because I'm going to stand up for that bride of Jesus Christ. I don't care how much you argue and fuss with me about all these things. You're not going to get nowhere downing the bride of Jesus Christ. But uplifting Christ, you're on my side. Because I believe in the spiritual more than the physical. Because if you're listening to the physical, Abraham had two seeds. He planted one in one woman, one in the other one. He wound up with two children out of that. You can't deny the point, right? But God kept separating. He would even have to use Sarah to separate with, to say, do this and do that. But he kept separating until he wound up with Isaac. But that was not his promised son. That's the promised son in the natural. Jesus Christ is his promised son. And by the new birth, we become the children of God. Now we can fit into the Galatians. Tell me, the dudes that about the heir, as long as he's an heir, he's no different. But let him become into a childhood. Let him come into adoption. Let him come to the stature of a perfect man. Let him gather into all of these things. And see it. One more before we go. Go ahead with number three. This one quote from Brother Branham on the seed shall not be heir with the shuck. He's talking about the seed hanging on you. I like that. See, the Spirit speaking, watch how it's true. It said, the seed shall not be heir with the shuck. That's a very strange text. But like I said, it looked like it'd be the other way. You read it. Just read it. The seed shall not be heir with the shuck. It looks like it should be saying the shuck shall not be heir with the seed. No, I ain't worried about that. Shuck's going his way. I'm going my way. The shuck won't be no part. But the bride of Jesus Christ does not have to go through the tribulation. But the seed of Abraham, the natural... Now listen, the natural seed of Abraham, whether it be from Isaac or Ishmael, the natural person, unless he gets born again, is going through the tribulation.
Yes, right.
Or die before, whatever, you know.
Right, true.
Because he has no place to go.
Nope. Right.
But the royal seed of Abraham, the bride of Jesus Christ. See? That's a very strange text, but the seed shall not be air with a shook. And from taking, drawing my conclusions on this, of my text rather, from Galatians 4:27-3, Paul here, of course, is speaking of the literal seed of Abraham's two sons. All right? Two sons. You have to let God do the separating. And that's why you don't want all of this two and three, a two-ness and a one-ness. You want to be born again and be in the body of Jesus Christ. Come on, musician. And be ready to go against that day, because we're in that day. We're the seed of Abraham by faith in Jesus Christ. All right? The bondwoman, the shuck shall never be free. Now listen, just a second. The shuck shall never be free like the seed is needing to be. Because the shuck cannot do that. But the seed that comes from that point is the bride of Jesus Christ. And it brings her to a perfection in Jesus Christ. The seed shall not be heir with a shuck. Shuck's going to the tribulation. Seed's going in the rapture. Two entirely different things. Two places, two different ways. Let's stand together. Think on these things. I don't want to be heir with the shuck. I want to be of the free woman. I don't want to have to worry about whether I'm an Israelite or a Canaanite or any kind of ites or a Lulaite. I don't want to be none of that. I want to be a born-again Christian in the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. What about you? Let's sing. What do we got?
Let's sing that chorus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Which one are you? Are you the bond woman or the free woman?
Hallelujah.
You're a natural person believing in the works and good and all of you're the bond woman.
Hallelujah.
But if you're in the free woman, you're in Jesus Christ, and all things are made possible.
Hallelujah.
Come and let's see. Part of us, because that's all we are. Nothing to join, nothing to do. We're born into the kingdom. What makes us the children of the free woman is by the new birth. By the new birth. What an opportunity. Father, we thank you. We pray what we've said is worthy, Lord, to have been said, because we're just bragging on you and your ways and your love, Lord. Be with us. Bless Wade this afternoon as he ministers unto us. Be with Brother Bob and him, Lord, as they're finishing up their services there in the different places, and give them a safe journey back home. Let everything be for your honor and glory. Father, we're looking forward to a great time this next weekend, Lord, to be able to celebrate our 50th anniversary. As to be in here, Lord, and to be in this little place all of these years, just resting in you and just have your way, Lord. You come on the scene with all of it and bring us to a 50th in our own experiences and our own doing. 49 is good because it's dark, but yet we need the 50. But we need a jubilee. We thank you. Guide us now. Bless and keep us in Jesus' name. You're dismissed. Pray one for another.
Amen.